Under this week, which is week 12, under learning, under more, you're going to see that there is a group of videos that can help if what I'm going to record today, you need some extra help. So what I've done is I've gone and looked at these different video pages. For instance, creating an InDesign file, chances are you're not going to need. You're already probably pretty good at doing that. But I'm going to show you how to make how to add text and how to format. I'm going to show you how to add graphics. I'm going to show you how to work with what we're calling here master pages, but in reality they call them parent pages now, but they used to call them master pages. So when you click in here, you're going to see that Adobe has all these different videos. But what I did so that you're not overwhelmed with all this is I basically have given you the number and the title of the video. So if you go to this multi-page documents, I'm saying to you, watch number one and watch number three. The rest of them aren't relevant to what we're learning. So all that stuff is there to give you some help. I taped the class yesterday and the video didn't convert. So I'm redoing it today. I'm going to try to be a little cleaner on what I'm doing. Now, hierarchy, you know how important that is. That's a big thing that I'm going to be looking for, that you understand how to use typographic hierarchy or hierarchy as you build a design. There is a web page here that's really good. Very cleanly, and we've already talked about this in class, so you may not need this at all. But if you need a little extra help with it, it's talking about how you use weight and color and position, how you use white space. That can help you as well. Then there are two videos here that are kind of a little bit longer and they're a little more complex. You may not need those at all, but just in case, if you want a little more help, a little more advanced help. Those two short, kind of short videos are there. So that's explaining all the stuff under more that's there to give you extra help. I don't understand why there's a peer review here. You guys don't do a peer review. Huh, that must be a boo-boo. Let me go check. I'll check on that and get rid of that. You guys don't do a peer review. All right, so oh no, I might have accidentally added it. I use it in other classes. So we've already done those tabs. Tabs. So there's a, you can go in here and I'm going to talk about doing tabs in a bibliography today. And then next week, I'm going to talk about doing tabs in the contents. Now, one thing that happened in class yesterday is a lot of students came in and their tabs were maintained from their Word file. I don't remember having that issue so much before. If your tabs came in and they're already maintained from your Word file, we're just going to let it go. But I'm still going to show how to do it. All right, that is all I need to explain. I'm going to get rid of this because there's no reason for that there. Sorry. Didn't see it in yesterday. Okay, now let me just double cut. Let me just double check something while I'm here. You do not do a peer review. Yeah. Okay. All right, so what I'm going to do now, and what you can do if you want to follow along, is go ahead and open your white paper file. Actually, before you do that, let's do this first. Okay. The only bad thing about Zoom is I got to mess around with all these tabs. Well, and I accidentally clicked that and I didn't want to. All right. Let's see if we can do that. I actually uploaded the software. I tested it. I uploaded the actual software and I tested it and I got it to convert this time. But yesterday I did a sample. And I did another one, and when I downloaded them to convert them, they didn't convert. So I'm just doing it again. Okay, so in your white paper folder, you want to have your InDesign file, your body copy that you did from the content practice, that little strip that we did when we found your when we did the colors. You can always change that if you want. Now, what I'd like you to do is go to your Word file for your annotated bibliography. And I want you to go in and you're going to say, I already did this one because I used it for demonstration yesterday. I want you to go in and I want you to take out, if you followed the template, I want you to take out all the numbers, any links that might be in there. If you did APA style, it's going to put in links. If you did MLA, it doesn't put in links. Go ahead and take the links out. Could we have links in our bibli in our white paper? Sure, we could, because we're making an interactive PDF. But I want to keep your bibliographies to one page, and I want to show you how to do some tabbing and things like that in it. So we're just going to go ahead and take them out to make it a little cleaner, and then take out any annotations. So when you're done, your bibliography should look just like this. The only thing is, I use the template and it's the same citation one right after another. Yours are going to be different citations. But all you should have is the citation with a return between them. And once you've cleaned up that file and you have it looking like that, go ahead and save it and put it away and put that file into your white paper folder. Now, anything you use in this white paper, because what you're going to do between now and Monday, and I don't know how you guys that are away at the meet are going to do this. We're going to have to think this out. You might have to get a hold of, I might have to get a hold of you. I got to think about, because if you're competing, I don't know how you're ever going to get this work done between now and Monday. But what I want you to do is get in this folder everything that you're going to use in your white paper. Now, maybe you don't know yet all the images, or maybe you're going to create some Illustrator images to go in there and maybe don't quite have them. But once you have them, put them in here, because InDesign needs to know where they're located. So everything at some point you're going to use. I also got this little picture of a puppy. You could go get a picture of a puppy or a kitten or whatever if you want to follow along as I teach this, just to show you how to install images. Okay, so at this point you can see I don't have a lot of images or anything in here, but you'll have more. Also, remember in your copy, when we bring that in, you're going to have that third page with the quotes and stuff. And I'm going to show you how you can use that. So I'm going to put that folder away. Not going to need that anymore, but I got to be careful. I don't want to lose Zoom. Hopefully, this is still recording. Yep. All right. So I'm going to open up my InDesign file. And you guys could too if you want to follow along. Hopefully, it'll be a little more efficient by doing it like this. There were a lot of questions in the first class. The second section didn't have very many questions. But if you guys have questions, just email me or text me and I'll help you best I can. Makes me nervous because all two almost 2 hours and then the video didn't convert. All right, so let me go through, because I didn't clean this up yet. So don't kind of pay attention. I mean, you can watch if you want, but don't. I'm going to actually walk you through all this step by step. To show you how you can kind of make it a little easier for set up your file. All right. So remember, I talked about you need to have page numbers, but they're not in the directions. It's kind of one of the things that you got to be in class for. So you all have your files. Just make sure you have your files. Already set them up, so you should be good. So I'm going to teach you about a couple. I'm going to teach you about a whole bunch of different things you can do today. So here's our 8 pages, and notice each page has an A on it. If you look up here, you're going to see this thing called A Parent. Used to be called Master Pages. So you'll catch me kind of flipping those words around, because it was called Master Pages for a long time. And then all of a sudden they changed it. Well, what you can do here with these A Parents or Master Pages is you can create a page. so that every page looks the same. Whatever elements or columns or whatever we do on this A parent is going to look exactly the same on the rest of these pages. Now, the reason mine don't look that way right now is because actually when I was showing people, let me just do this real quick. Let me get rid of this for a minute because I'll walk you through it. All right. So now you're going to notice all my pages look the same. And that they look the way they look from the way I set the document up originally. So I'm going to come over here and we're going to click on this A parent. So the thing you have to be careful for, the trick that happens with new people learning this is it's like layers. Remember how with layers, you would start drawing, but you weren't drawing in the proper layer because you didn't have the proper layer selected. Well, you got to think about that with pages. So if you come over here and double click on that, notice the A parent is nice and blue. You probably can see it better through this video than you can in class because of the screen. But you want to make sure that's blue. That means it's selected. That means anything I do over here, I'm actually doing on this A parent page. So that's one of the key things. Now, I'm going to come over and take the type tool and I'm going to use the grid and I'm going to go from this end of the grid over to this end of the grid. And I'm not going to make it too deep. And I'm going to type the number one. And then I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to make a page number. So I'm going to make it what size I think it should be. You know, depending on your design and what you're doing, you don't usually want them real big. You know, where do they fit in your hierarchy? And then you also want to go ahead and make it whatever font you're working in. So let's just say that I'm going to do I'm going to do mine in Fel. And Fel, actually, if you notice, it's kind of a smaller font. It's got a smaller X height. So I'm going to make my page number a lot larger. Like if I was working in Helvetica, oh my gosh, I would never make it that big. But Fel, oh, actually, I think I'm making it a little too big. Fel, and you're going to have to play around with it a little bit until you get the right thing. Then either under type paragraph right here, or in your properties window, because it'll give you, see how it'll give you down here in your properties window or paragraph. I have a tendency to use the paragraph because I keep pages up here. I'm going to center that. Now you can make your page number flush here, or you could center. I told everybody in class to just kind of follow along and do what I'm doing right now, and then you can always go back and change it. And in a way, that's kind of cool because this way you'll get it done. And if you're panicking, you could kind of leave it this way because it's working. But even better, if you want to go back and change it, it shows me you understand how to do this. So once I've gotten that page number all set, notice what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring it down, and smart guides are on by default. So notice I'm getting that pink line in the middle. That's telling me, and if you don't have smart guides on, I'm going to be honest with you, I always have to go dig for them. They're in here somewhere. I can't remember where they are. I'd almost have to probably object. Where are smart guides? View guides. Here they are. Grids and guides. They're under grids and guides and smart guides. Okay. So they're buried a little bit more than they are in Illustrator. So make sure they're on because then it's going to help you a lot. InDesign is one place I use smart guides a lot. And notice I'm going to bring my page number down, and I don't want it to be too close to the body copy, which is going to be in this grid. And I don't want it to be, you know, I want it to look like it's not falling off the bottom. And remember, we always kind of want a little more space at the bottom. Now, the fact that I have to remake this, I'm going to make this even better because I'm going to post this up for everybody. So a student came to me after class yesterday, and she wanted to use little borders she made up here in a corner. The thing is, we are making PDFs, so we don't have to worry so much about a knife coming down and cutting a paper and cutting something off. But you do want to think about a safe area, like how close do you want to get things to the edge? If you're going to put it near the edge, like for instance, I'm going to do a little sample here. If I was going to make, I wanted like a little, I don't know why I'd ever do something like this, but just for exhibit, let's say I wanted to put a little square like that on the end. What I really would probably want to do is make sure the square went all the way to the bleed, knowing that it's going to get cut off right here. But she had kind of a fancy border that you wouldn't want to cut off. So what I suggested to her was to move it in more, okay? And what you would be doing is you'd be making in a way two grids. Like you want those borders, because she had a border going on every four corners, I think. So I might use a guide and come down and say it's going to be an eighth of an inch all the way around. So I just come over and make that eighth of an inch all the way around. And then, oh, look at that. I nailed it. That's amazing. You get good at doing this visually. And then you would make sure those borders are the same. And because I'm doing this on a master page, notice my thumbnails over here. Those borders are appearing on every single page because I'm working on the master page. So I also suggested to her, if you're going to use those borders, if they're going to interfere with your body copy at all, like they are here, you got to readjust that grid so that your body copy fits within those borders. So, like this upper part would have to come down more. And you got to be careful because that's going to make it look like it's got a lot of copy on the top. She had where the border had a little cutout, so maybe her copy could go in through like that. But that's getting a little more advanced. And next week, when you guys bring in your white papers all laid out, if you're trying to do something like that, you ask me and I will help you with it, okay? So for today, though, and notice how all that's going to disappear because I'm taking it off the master page. For today, we're not gonna keep those borders like that. So just remember, if you decide you want to do something like that, try it. And then when I look at your stuff next week, in the week after, I will help you with it. All right. So here we are, still on the A master with the page number. Now, watch what happens. When I click on page one, there's the page number. Page two, there it is. Everything I put on that A parent is going to appear. You can make more than one master page. I'm not going to have you guys do it now, because we only got a few weeks left. And it's real easy. Those videos I give you, probably they could show you how to do it. But like if you decided you wanted right and left hand pages and you wanted page number over here and a page number over here, I'd make a left master and a right master, and I'd make sure the page numbers were flush over here and flush over there. And then all you have to do is drag and drop them over top. If anybody next week really, really wants to do that, you ask me and I'll show you. But I'm trying to keep things down a little bit so we can do a good job and learn the basics and get through, like I promised you, the end of the semester without being too stressful. Now, what I want to do, there are faster and easier ways of doing this, but I have a reason for making you do it this way, because I want you guys to learn how to override master page items and change things. I want you to go to page two now. So double click, see how my page two is all blue. And I'm going to go way up here to this corner and I'm going to click on those four little lines. It's going to bring down a menu and I'm going to go to override all parent page items. And watch, did you see how those dotted lines turn to a solid line? What it does is it, when it makes the master page, it puts it on all those other pages and they're locked. And you have to unlock them with that override. So now I can come down and do two. And I'm going to go to page three. See how they're dotted? Override all master page items, turn solid. And I can do page three. And in our document, our pages are going to match up like this. So your page one has got to be page one, two, three, four. Let me do it one more time. Override master page items. Oh, parent, sorry. You're going to catch me doing that because they just changed that title a while ago. And it had been the other one. I'm going to do a command S to save it. You should be thinking about doing that all along. So I want you to go through and do every single page number so that you have all your pages numbered. Now, when we go to do the final, before you go to turn in the final, there's going to be a few pages we'll go in and we'll actually delete the page numbers off, like the cover. But we'll wait. We'll tackle that job down the road. Now, we got our page numbers. I showed you about master pages. I want to show you how to place images. So I showed you a little bit last week. I'm going to review that again. But before I review that, I'm going to show you a new way. And the new way is the kind of the more right way to do it when you're doing page layout like this. It doesn't mean you can't do it the other way. But in the days when we did paste up, we would use a box like this one over here. Do you see the box above the rectangle with an X through it? That indicates, like when you're doing a mock-up or doing the beginning layout, that there should be an image there, that X going through. So for instance, if I'm page 4 here, I wanted to have an image that filled the right-hand grid. I would just click and drag across to fill that whole column with that box that indicates an X. And that would tell me there's supposed to be an image in there. So now to place the image, I go File, Place. I go to that white paper folder. Mine just happened to come up. And I'm going to use my puppy. And I click once, or I can double click. Or I click once and open. And it will immediately place that image in that box that was made. So be careful, because anything that's selected, so like say I accidentally forgot to unselect that. Hope this works now. If you go File, Place, and I go for that image, it's going to put the puppy, see, in that box. So you got to be careful and make sure that you have that place selected that you want the puppy to go into. Now, notice, once I get my puppy in there, he's going to come in at his original size. So he's pretty good size. So what we want to do, and remember, this is real important. We go to Object, Fitting, Fit Content Proportionally. I told students, write that note down if you have to. And what InDesign is going to do, it's going to fill the widest point of that image. In puppy's case here, it's the width. And what it'll do then is to make it proportional so it doesn't look stretched, it's going to leave white space where it doesn't have enough image to fill it. So in reality, if I want to use this puppy for this column, he's not going to fill the whole thing. I would go in and make my bounding box smaller, and I'd have to use him at that size. And then think about how he fits into the rest of the design, because I don't want him just floating there. So remember, the black arrow is a cropping tool. So if you use the black arrow, select the image, click on these white boxes, it crops. So like if I wanted to crop my puppy head out of there, it crops. Now I'm going to show you another trick. But you know what I'm going to do for this second trick? I'm going to go back to the cover, because a lot of you are going to maybe use a full bleed cover. So let me make this a little smaller. So I'm going to come get my box again. Ooh, I forgot to show you one thing on master pages too. We'll go back and do that in a minute. All right. So I'm going to make a full bleed of my cover photo. So if you got a real powerful, nice photo, it can look really good as a full bleed on the cover, which makes you feel like you're almost in the photo. That's what full bleeds will often do. So now I'm going to go File, Place, and bring in my puppy. I'll double click him this time. And there he is. And notice my puppy picture. Oh, he's so cute. He'd make a great cover. So notice it fills to the sides, but it's still got a little more on the top and the bottom. The best thing to do is to have an image bigger than what you want to use and to size it down, because then you're kicking data out and you're keeping the quality of the photo. But if you're trying to bring and make something bigger, sometimes you can get away with it, but you can't get away with it too much. Otherwise, the bigger you try to make it, the minute you start to see the pixelization and starts to get rough looking and not so good, then you don't want to use it. But in this case, this puppy picture is going to work. I don't have to make it that much bigger. So make this a little smaller for you so you can see what I'm going to do. Now, this is going to be a little trickier. I'm going to deselect and I'm going to come get the white arrow and I'm going to click on my puppy. Do you notice we've got those white boxes again, and you can't really see them. But look, I didn't really bring that over as far as I should have. You can't really see them, but what we are going to do now is we can size the puppy. So if I were to do this, see how the puppy got disproportioned? I'm going to put them back. I'm going to hold my shift key. Remember, we learned this with Illustrator. Hold my shift key, keep my sh shift key down, and then I can go grab these corners and I can go ahead and resize my puppy so he fits nicely in there, but not too close to the edges so it looks like he's going to like get broken off or whatever. And I've got him nice and perfectly in there. Now, with that white arrow still activated, I can actually take, see how it turns into a little hand? I can actually take and move that puppy around like that. Now, I can't move him everywhere. I'd have to make him even bigger in order to keep that white space away. But if I just want to adjust him a little bit, like get him a little more to this, whatever I got image left for, I can do. And if I make him bigger, so I still got my white arrow, I'm going to hold my shift key there. I'm going to make him even bigger. You can see how you aren't seeing the white now, but he's a little too big there. He's a little too big there to work on that cover. All right. So black arrow, deselect, select, crop, deselect, white arrow, click, hold your shift key. Size. Okay. Black, crop, white, size, and move. Okay. So that's how to place an image using the box. The box, I think, is the best way to place an image like that. Now, let's go back to two and let's go to page two just so I can show you cleanly. I'm going to go just file place. This is what I showed you last week. Grab my puppy. Double click it, comes in with that little image, click and let it go. What it does is it br see how I'm still on the white arrow and I moved it the wrong way. Deselect, select with the black arrow, and it's going to bring it in at the full size. And then I can go do all the same things with the white, with the black arrow and the white arrow. It's just that what makes the box great is you can go through and you can be laying out your design and you can say, I want an image to go in here, and then I'm going to have more body copy, or I'm going to have a quote down here, and I'm going to have body copy over here. And it allows you to kind of estimate what you really want to do. Like maybe, let me go get the black arrow. Sorry. I want to resize this. Maybe I want to do like two images, and I can even select this and copy and paste it. I didn't even show that to the guys yesterday. And notice how I'm filling in the grid, making sure it fills in the grid. But I'm thinking, ooh, I want captions under both of those. So maybe I'm going to make them just a little bit smaller because I want equal space there for those captions. And then I can always go play around with it later to make sure it fits on the grid. Or maybe I want the grid to be like that and I put the captions in there. Okay. So that's how to place images. I think there are already individual little videos I made on Blackboard under videos that talk about this again, but basically I've given it all to you here. Now, placing text. Okay, I'm just going to get rid of that. So let's do this other little thing first. Let's go back to page one and I'm getting rid of puppy. So I'm going to show you guys a little trick that I use sometimes that works really good. Normally, we'd make a paper mock-up and kind of plan out how we're going to design our project. On real complex projects, I'd always do that. On little shorter projects like this, especially if I was under a lot of time pressure, I'm going to show you a little trick where we aren't going to work out the mock-up on paper. Matter of fact, I have where you guys get points for it. I'm just going to give them to you for free because I just want to make sure you get a good job done here, and we've only got so much time left. So here's what I want you to do. Go to page one, okay, and click your type tool and click up here in the margin and type the word cover. It doesn't matter what it looks like or what type or whatever. It's just little notes we're making. And then when we're done with designing the project, or when we're done with that page, or when we're working on that page and we no longer need to remind ourselves it's the cover, you're going to go ahead and you're going to delete these little notes. They're just there to help you understand your layout. So we know page one is going to be a cover. We also know page eight is going, whoop, yep, I wanted to show you this too. We also know what page eight is going to be according to our directions. Remember, if you go back to the white paper thing, it's going to tell you. All right, I'm the white paper directions and rubric. So I'm going to do a copy of that, a copy of that type. Go to page eight and then just do a paste so I don't have to retype it. And then I'm going to highlight it. And this is where the author's bio is going to go. And I don't care if I do it correctly. I just want notes there for me. So this is where you're gonna, where you have total freedom to do whatever you want. You can put a picture of yourself. You can put a picture of anything you want. Write a little something about yourself. No big sweat. You're just gonna, you know, just like what sometimes you'll see, like in a newspaper or magazine, end of an article, it'll talk a little bit about who wrote the article, because that could be very, could give a lot of credibility to the document. It could, because it shows who you are, what your skills are. But you guys can put in there whatever you feel like. You could talk about what program you're in and what you're studying and what you want to do. You know, you don't have to write a novel. Just put a little something in there and a little image and design it so it's interesting. All right, now we're going to go back to page two, and I'm going to do another paste. Help if I'm in the right tool. Okay. And for most of you, the second page is probably going to be, and you can change it up, but you got to remember that your audience is used to documents being a certain way. And I'll explain a little bit of this as we go. So you expect the table of contents to be very near the front. Now, could you like put an image here or something? Maybe, but let's go with table of contents. So everybody set it up like this. And then, you know, we only got so many weeks left. Doing an 8-page white paper is great. I mean, if you do it well, you're going to get a great grade. So don't worry about quantity, worry about quality, worry about doing it well, and doing good type hierarchy and grid and layout and all that good stuff. But if you want to add more pages down the road, it's really easy to add more pages. And I'll actually, let me show that right now. So if you take the A parent, because we set it up with page numbers, and just click and drag and say you want another page after four, just click and let go, and it actually puts the page right in order. It's going to look just like the A parent, and it's going to change the page nation here. So you're going to see that different. I'm going to go ahead and take that out, but that's how easy it is to take a page in. If you want to get rid of a page, you highlight it and you hit this trash can, and that takes a page away. All right, but hey, 8-page document is good enough. So there's going to be our table of contents. Now, chances are then you start your copy on the very next page. And remember, we were supposed to have an introduction and a conclusion. So this would be your introduction page. That would be the first part of your copy. So let's go backwards now again. Let's go back to page seven, the page before page eight, and do our little note here. And I can remember, go to the right tool. And you're going to have your bibliography. Remember the one, the annotated bibliography that we went and cleaned up? We're going to import that Word file into your bibliography page. A bibliography absolutely has to follow the last page of copy. You don't want to put like an image in between. People who use bibs are used to seeing bibs right after the copy. Sometimes they even start on the last copy page. But in our case, we're going to do a whole page devoted to the bib. So we are going to make page seven the bibliography. So go ahead and put in bib. While I'm here, I'll override this. Turn it into page eight. Oh, sorry, page seven. Maybe I'll go over here on page eight and override it and do that. Override all parent page. That's going to be page eight. Okay. So here we are. That's where the bib is going to go. So what you have is from page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6 to lay out your copy, your images. You're not going to have enough copy. If you did your content practice right, you're going to have plenty of copy to do this, but it's also going to give you room to add a type treatment on a quote, a type treatment on maybe a fact or figure, and add images and copy. You're going to have to use all those elements to make sure there's substantial information through those pages. And then here you import your bib. Okay? So page 1, cover. Page 2, table of contents. Page 3 is where we have our introduction. Page 4, page 5. Ah, you know what I forgot? Conclusion. So this page is going to be conclusion. And let me override this and change the page number. I'm going to save it. Learn to save all the time. Page 7, page 8. Let me go check again and fix all my page numbers. I don't have to worry about page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Override. And what's pretty cool is I just look over here. I can see it's page 5. Okay, page 6, page 7, page 8. Okay, I'm gonna hit save. So there's a basic file all set. You know what I might do? I think I might save this file for you guys, and I might actually post this on Blackboard to give anybody help in case they're having a really, really hard time. All right, now on my little list here, I've got place images, place master pages, place text. Okay, then I want to show you a little something in the bibliography and how efficient it is, because this isn't going to be an hour and 50 minutes like it was going to be for you if it had the recording had converted like it should have. And I don't understand how that messed up, because I converted an awful lot of those, but I don't know if this is an excuse, but this is a brand new computer, so I had to re-download the software, and I probably should have tested it better. All right, I'm sure hoping it works this time, because I tested it and did work, and I'm trying again. Now, to place text. All right, so we know our copy is going to start on page 3 with our introduction. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go file, place. And I'm going to go look for that Word file. It has to be a Word file. PDFs don't work very well. So open and see what happened. That's because I had that highlighted. So I'm going to do a Command Z. And look, it's overriding my problem. But let me do it again. I'm going to go make sure nothing is selected. File, place. Go find that copy. Double click it, and it should come in looking like something like this. So, what I want you guys to do now to practice, but we can move this around. I want you to come up in this corner, get kind of close to it, click and let go, and it should just fill the column. Now, my copy is kind of messy. It's got too many returns. So, I need to go into Word and fix that. But let's pretend it looks right. I'm going to come in and notice down here. We have this little red box with an arrow in it. Click on that little red box and we get that same look. And we're going to come up to this column and click and let go. And voila, it will keep placing our copy. As long as we have copy, it'll keep putting a red box. So now I'm going to come click that one, go to page 4, come up in this corner, click and let my box go. Do it again. Keep doing it until, and notice it's not really filling my bounding box. I don't know. It's probably because I just didn't get high enough to the corner, but we can go ahead. Let me go back and make see how that one worked. I probably just didn't get close enough to the upper part. And but we can go back, and it's a bounding box. It'll do things like this. It'll actually, and we're going to fit it to the grid. So I'm going to go ahead. I don't know why it's not red anymore, but I'm going to go ahead. I knew there was more. And I'm going to come up here. Let me go and like click it real close. There we go. And now I think I'm out of copy. Maybe not. don't know why it's not red, to be honest with you guys. Should start out red. There, now I'm out of copy. So you just keep placing and placing like that to bring all your copy in. But let me show you a little trick. You can actually come in, watch what I'm doing. I'm going to close up that bounding box and then hit delete to get rid of those two lines. Notice the words there. Drag up this bounding box, hit delete to get rid of those lines. Going to come to page, actually, I'm going to go back to page 4. Oop, that's weird. Didn't do, oh, nothing like a demonstration going wrong. Hang on a second. I'm going to do that again. I'm going to have you follow me doing that again. There shouldn't have bumped up the page 4. I'm going to replace that. I'm going to go back to 3. File, place. I'm sure it's something I did wrong. Copy. Click. 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 Page 4. Click. There's the word there. I think I placed it too many times or something. Oh, I know why it's doing that. I know why it's doing that, guys. I'm so sorry. I just copy pasted the copy. So the copy's going to look the same. So I know why it did that. It worked pro Oops. It worked properly. Think it's telling me that's it. Maybe that's why it's not red. That's why it's not red. Okay. So the fact that that has a blank space and that's not red anymore tells me I've placed all my copy. All right, so let me show you what we can do. What it did, oh, I know why it's doing. If I click and do that again, it's actually picking up the copy and starting over again. I didn't even know it did that. Didn't even know it did that. I just learned something. So now I'm going to close this up and hit delete. Now I'm going to close this up and hit delete. And the only copy I should have up here is the copy I started with. I'm going to click on this. I'm going to go to page 5, click. See the word there? There's my red box. See the word there? There's the rest of my copy. So what you can do is you can close these up, click, and what it does is it just keeps flowing text from page to page to page, and you can adjust the text according to the bounding box. And we also learned you can continue to flow the same text over and over again. And I can do this to cut it off, do this to pick it back up. So if I want to, and watch what happens, you got, watch what happens. See how it's flowing, that text? So if I decide I want to put an image in here, I can break it up like that as well. Your documents are going to be kind of small. I don't know how much you're going to be able to break up like that. But let's say on my first page, this is all the copy I have for my introduction. I might want to do something like this. Here's where I'd use my header font. I think I'm going to stick with Fel, but I think I'm going to use the small caps. And I'm going to have to make it pretty big. And so once I establish how it's going to look, let's say maybe I want to center it. So in order to center it, and be careful, don't get too, oops. Don't get too carried away with centering because it can be boring sometimes. If I want to center it, actually, I didn't show this yesterday. I'm going to save this for next week. I can do something like that, and I can also do this. I can break my copy up so I can keep it even. Think that's what we use. And of course, I gotta fix this. I should have done it on the Word file, though. Yep, there's some kind of coding in there that's making a mistake. So I'll just do that for right now. And what I want to do is I want these two lines to line up straight across. So I'm going to, oh, I nailed that. And I always want this side to be shorter than this side. They can be even if you want them to be, or they can be like this, and it tells your audience that that's the end of that section. Okay. And if you're going to keep running, or you don't, depending on what you're going to do, that little bit changes, but I'm going to save that stuff for next week. So I showed you how to place text, showed you how to place images, showed you how to size them, showed you how to do the boxes, showed you how to do master pages, bibliography, and we're done. So let's go down here to the bib, go file place. I'm going to bring in my pathetic bibliography. Now, let me go back, co select that, do a copy, do a paste. Notice how I'm using the grid to get that perfectly centered because all your headers should be consistent. So all I got to do is copy paste like that. And then, because I want this to be consistent, and I will show this all again next week. I'm kind of getting carried away here today. I made myself a little box, copied it, came down here, gonna paste it so that I could line it up baseline to baseline. So there's the baseline. Bring me a little guide. And then I can line up. Take this white space out. See how easy that is? And I can line up my bibliography. Now, you're going to have a lot more bibliography than what I have here. Let me just so for the view of it, I think you guys are going to have at least 10, right? So just so you can see it. I'll make more. And then line that up. I'm using my keyboard arrow to get that lined up. Yeah, blow it up. Okay, and as long as this one's longer than that one, or I can make them like that. Looks nice. That looks handsome. So I showed you how I kind of would place the bibliography. Now, in my case, I don't have the indents like a bibliography is supposed to have. So the whole point of the bibliography is that, sorry about the dogs. I'm doing this in the morning at home. Hey, Harlan, Louie, stop. Hey. The garbage truck is coming, so they're going nuts. So anyhow, the whole point, hey, Harlan, Harlan. So the whole point is getting the indents so we can kind of see the beginnings of the last name. That's how we people who use bibliographies use them. We're looking for that that first word there that usually is an author's last name. So I'm going to teach you how to use tabs. Tabs are pretty cool. I'm pretty sure there's a whole video on tabs on Blackboard under videos. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select all that type. So I'm going to take my type tool, click in there, do a Command A, get all that type. Now the beauty of your bibliography being a separate Word file, oh, I remember something I didn't show you, is it's not going to select the entire document. So I'll go back. I'll show you about how to do Command A on type and what you can do with it. So now that I selected the whole thing, I'm going to go type. Tabs. You all, excuse me, you always, always, always want to use tabs and not the space bar to put in indents. So unprofessional to use the space bar because you're not going to get it perfect. So you're going to use tabs. Can be a little tricky when you first learn it. Maybe some of you have used it in Word and you mastered it already. But what I want to do is I want to get my black arrow. Oh, nope, I don't want to do that. Sorry. I have to have it selected, so I'm still in my type tool. It's going to turn to a black arrow when I go up in here. And see how you have that little line between the arrow? It almost splits that arrow in half. You want to click on that little line and grab both of them and bring it over until you get it to where you think you want it. And then the tricky part is you go grab only the top arrow and bring it back. And that's how you get the hanging indent. And look how gorgeous, and it's all perfect. You don't have to worry about any extra spacing. Okay? That is how to do that particular tab. I'm going to show you a different kind of tab next week for your table of contents. Now, I want to show you one other thing. Let's go over here, and I'm going to bring all our text back. So I'm going to fill with my crappy copy, the one I should have gone in and fixed better. Took out all those extra white spaces. See how it didn't quite go there? So I'm just going to take that bounding box up. You'll learn where you want to fill the grid with that bounding box there. So there's all our copy. Let's go back to the front part. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to click in there with the type to do a command A. And it's going to select all the copy, even though right now we don't see anything there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make this type bigger. I'm going to make it ridiculous just so you can see it. Notice what's happening. It's doing it to all the type. See how it's made it longer? Now I'd have to flow it more. So when you do a command A, which is part of the beauty of InDesign, why we use this for multiple page layout, because it works really, really well with, I did command Z back, and look at that, it even took me back to the tab in the type in my little arrow. So that's one of the beauties. So if you want to change font size, leading, font, color of the type, all those things, you can make them universal like that. Okay, cool. All right, so there's something else I wanted to show you. Showed you how to do Command A, how to copy paste text. Oh, and I was thinking about it when I was coming here. Command A. Maybe that was it. Maybe that was the only thing left I had to show you. Let me just look, cover, table of contents, text. I actually showed you guys a little more. How do your headers? Remember, I thought about it here. Didn't have that written down, unfortunately, but sometimes I think of these things when we're doing them, which is bad. Okay, so I showed you how to change all your text. That was it. That was it. Making sure you understood how to do Command A on all your text. Okay, that's it. With that said, do your best. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do with you guys at the meet. I've got to talk with you guys. If you can, and you guys at the meet, if you can't come with it all done because you're competing, but if you have time to work on I'm thinking you took a bus there, that's why you've been gone so long, or on a plane. If you have time to work on it, I hate to put that pressure on you, but it would be great because you wouldn't fall behind. If you fall a little bit behind, at least watch this video if you can. But I asked everybody to come in Monday with as much laid out as possible. Like I would go in and lay out my cupboard, and I would come in and I would just at least put my table of contents in here, you know, import and build it, because you didn't make one. So I'd take my type tool, and maybe you're not going to have it totally designed yet because I'm going to still teach you how to do tabs, but you might type like introduction. And then, like page three, and then maybe type, I don't know, like Bob or I don't know, and then put page four and just kind of build a table of contents that way and then turn it to the font you're going to use. Don't get too crazy about over designing it because I'm still going to teach you tabs. If you do get crazy about over designing it, no problem. Bring your copy in, lay your copy out, bring all the images in you're going to use. Now I remember what I was going to do. You are going to, when you bring this content in, I don't have it, but you guys at the end of this content, you're going to have your quotes and your facts. What I want you to do with your quotes and your facts, that page three, pretend that this last paragraph are my quotes and facts. I'm going to highlight them. I'm going to do a Command C for copy. I'm going to come over here and make a box and do Command V for paste, and I'm going to copy them over there. Then I'm going to come back here and I'm going to delete the ones that are there, and they are now going to be gone. You can see that they're missing. They're gone. You're going to save on these, and they can actually stay over here. And what you're going to do is you're going to go in and highlight, for instance, like if I wanted, let's pretend that's a quote. And then I can come over here, make a box and paste it. And you can just have that in there. You don't necessarily have to design it out, but I want you to think about where you're going to place that. So if you have like a fact that's like 65%, you can go ahead. I just did that quick, just 65% of all people, whatever. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go in and copy paste the stuff I want. I'm just, and then maybe I want to put that on this page, and I'll just paste it in there. You don't have to worry about designing it out so much. You can just put it in there like that, but I want you to figure out where you're going to put it. So I want you to lay out the document to the best of your ability as much as you can, because then we can spend next week. I'm going to help you fix them up. I'll show you how to do this as a type treatment. Help you with if you have a hard time understanding how to lay out the text. We've got something there to work with, and I can teach you better and quicker. Okay. All right. That is the end of this video. That's a lot of information. Do the best you can. And I will see you guys on Monday, and I'll teach you more. Okay. All right. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye. As soon as I figure out how to stop this thing, there we go. Please record.